We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith back here. Our good friend Jeff Brown joins us now talking some Penn State basketball. And Jeff, usually, you know, for the first half of this year, this was the sobering segment, and it's not so much anymore. Since the last time you and I talked, two more wins. That's three in a row, five out of six. And it would seem that Penn State might just have something here.
At the risk of tooting my own horn, I believe the first couple of shows, I said Penn State was going to finish in the top five. And I do believe I could have heard you chuckling in the background and, you know, yelling Homer a lot. But look at this now. They're in sixth place. They're 8-6 in the Big Ten. They're right behind Michigan, and they've got Michigan coming to the Jordan Center. They could end up in the top five this year.
So, yeah, I wasn't chuckling in the background. I was howling in the foreground, and and I wasn't whispering Homer. I was shouting it from the rooftops. But anyway, here they are.
Can you imagine, though? Give me back that win that they should have had with Wisconsin. Give me back that win they should have had with Maryland, and look where they're at.
Yeah, and I think, what was it, NC State as well, that Penn State could have had a shot there. And I guess that's the near misses fuel this concept where I think everybody still expects a letdown. I don't think they've quite moved the fan sentiment all the way to the other side. So they go on the road to Illinois. I think that there's just a lot of people are just holding their breath, just waiting for it. And to their credit, they did not give Penn State fans what they were expecting.
When they couldn't pull away for a great part of the game, I started thinking, oh, no. This cannot be another loss to a team that you can't lose to. But I think it is indicative of where this team has grown this year that they didn't do that. And they didn't lose a game that they should have won, as they did earlier in the season. They come on strong. They find it somewhere. I don't know where, but look at the scoring last night. It was very, very evenly distributed. Shep led the way with 16 points, but everybody scored in double figures. It was a great team effort on the road at kind of a weird time. And it was a game they as bad as Illinois is, it was a game they had to win.
You do have to win that game. And I think that finishing, Jeff, is something that I don't think you learn how to do it until you've done it wrong. And Penn State did it wrong for a while. And I know that there have been a couple instances as the season went into the second half and they've started to heat up a little bit where Pat Chambers is pretty pleased with the way that they're finishing. It doesn't always have to be pretty for 40 minutes. In fact, it's not often pretty for many programs for all 40 minutes. But in the end, I think Penn State wins with defense on the road against Illinois, which, again, that's exactly what Pat Chambers would love his program to do.
And, Dustin, you're absolutely right. You've got to learn to finish, and you've got to learn to win these games. And with a team that is sophomore-laden, that's a tough lesson to learn. And especially on a night when Josh Reeves maybe wasn't as Josh Reevious as he has been in the last few games, they still found a way to win. They still sucked it up. They still played great D down the stretch in the second half, and they were able to pull away with a win that they had to have and they should have had.
I like you turning Josh Reeves' name into an adjective. You showed a lot of Jeff Brownitude by doing that. Turn your name into a noun. So in that game, he wasn't as Josh Reevious. I get that, but balanced scoring, points in the paint, which I would love to see. I haven't really done a full assessment of game by game Penn State points in the paint versus their opponent, but they tend to do a better job in that area than their opponent does. And this one is 34-12 against Illinois. When you have some athletes in the paint, with the defense that they showed, this is pretty much Penn State's winning formula. And with a little bit better ball movement, five guys in double figures, winning in the paint, this is what Penn State needs to do.
Well, look at from previous years, and I don't have exact numbers for you, but you've got Mike Watkins, you've got Lamar Stevens, you've got Josh Reeves, who really enjoy putting on a show and slamming the ball home. High percentage shots. we are seeing a Penn State team this year, and again, I don't have the exact figures, but they're consistently shooting 49% and up throughout the games. And believe me, there have been many, many seasons with many, many coaches that we have sat back as Penn State fans and watched them shoot 30% and 29% in games and things like that. They are getting inside. They're getting the easy shots. The shooting percentage is way up, and they're having much more success.
How about the defense, Jeff? 16 points in the second half for Illinois. Some of that, I'm sure, is their own doing. 6 out of 22 shooting in the second half. That defense was on point.
Illinois is not that bad. I mean, they're bad, but they're not that bad. I would love to know what was said in the locker room at halftime. I truly would, because it was a different team that came out and showed a lot of fire. The only thing, and I don't know if you saw this or not, and I would love to know what happened here as well, Tony Carr steals the ball. They're only up about 6 points or 8 points, comes down the floor, and the other four guys are just strolling down the floor. And I don't know if you noticed that or not, but it was the one possession. Carr is just standing there dribbling the ball, waiting for these guys. They're not even jogging. They're walking down the floor. And I don't know if that was because they were putting forth such an effort on defense that they were just gassed and needed a break, or what the deal was. But I don't believe I have ever seen that before, where one guy gets down very quickly and then just has to stand there and watch everybody else walking down.
Could it be what they've come to expect from Tony Carr? The guy who's going to go 1-on-4 if he's got it. And maybe that's just everybody's got to break out of that habit.
That could be. I mean, that is the one thing I did not think about, was they just thought, oh, well, Tony's got it. He's going to do something anyway. No sense in getting the whole way down when we've got to go back. But yeah, I just thought, you know what, maybe these guys are a little gassed. Yeah, maybe. I think it was because of the effort. They had to play defense in the second half, and defense is not an easy thing to play. And so they put off a lot of effort, but those guys, at least at that moment, looked like they were a very tired bunch.
So Pat Chambers, I'm sure, would scream and shout about something like that, but in the back of his head, he's thinking, think about this. They've expended so much energy on defense that they don't care about offense. It's the exact opposite problem a lot of people have.
That's absolutely true, but you know what? That would be a Pat Chambers thing, and that's why I would love to know what happened in the locker room at halftime, because they were a little listless in the first half, and man, they came out strong in the second half.
Yeah, on the road and coming through and winning by 20-plus points. It speaks for itself at the end there. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking some Penn State hoops, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Let's go back a few more days, Jeff. The redemption game against Maryland. This is not a great Maryland team. I think, what are they, 5-8 in the Big Ten this year?
Yeah.
They beat Penn State in a game that Penn State should not have lost. And they come back, and, you know, it's maybe a little closer for comfort than you would like, but they get the redemption win.
It was a nice game. I mean, all around, it was a nice game. And again, I'm not one to blame officials one way or the other, but they really fought the officials in that game as well. There was some head-scratching calls. But I think it's indicative of what this team is doing and how they're maturing. Is they didn't let it get to them. They didn't start barking at the refs. They didn't, look over at Pat and give the, what's going on here look or anything else. They just stuck to the plan, and they worked hard. I hate to quote the New England Patriots, but just do your job. And that's what they did. It just typified it to me. They went out, and they each did their job against Maryland, and look what happened.
And I got to ask, so with the Maryland win, with the Illinois win, Penn State 18-9 now. They're 8-6 in the Big Ten. Patrick Chambers has never won 8 league games in a season. So there's still 4 more to go on that front. How is that for a sign of significant progress? And there's nothing guaranteed, but anybody who was in the Pat Chambers must go crowd probably doesn't have a leg to stand on anymore.
Oh, I don't think so at all. And I don't think they ever did. Pat Chambers can't play the game for the guys. And sure, I'm sure there's lots of ways, and Pat will tell you himself lots of ways that he can improve, but you take this team from his day one to whatever his day is now, and it has been nothing but steady, impressive improvement, both on the recruiting side and on the floor. Now, these guys have their work cut out for them because to my way of thinking, they can only lose one more game. And they still have Ohio State, Purdue, and Michigan coming up. So this is a tough road to hoe for them. But, wow, if they could pull that off, maybe, you know, you give them a loss to Purdue or something like that, but they can pull off Ohio State, and they can pull off and Ohio State at home should be able to. I mean, they beat them on the road. They should be able to beat them logically in the BJC. But you can take care of Ohio State and Michigan and lose to Purdue. I think they're sitting really pretty going into the Big Ten tournament, and they've got to at least be a bubble team for the NCAA.
So you do believe that one loss is about all they can afford. The other variable in this is a potential Big Ten tournament run. So you can I think you can maybe go 2-2 and win however many games that would require then too. But you think that more or less by your line of thinking, Ohio State at home is virtually a must-win game.
I think they have to win that. They have to beat Michigan at home. If they do that, they're easily in the top five in the Big Ten, which makes them look good. I mean, what's holding me back were all the silly losses at the beginning of the season. You know, losing to Rider, losing to Wisconsin, even losing to Maryland for that matter. If they had won some of those games, they'd be sitting much prettier and looking much prettier in the standings than they are now. So, you know, I don't think they can afford to falter over these last four games. They've got to win three out of the four.
Three out of four. But the fact remains here, the NCAA tournament is in play. And, you know, Ohio State at home is no pushover. Purdue on the road, you figure a virtual guarantee for a loss. But at the same time, they've shown some vulnerabilities in the past week or two that gives a little glimmer of hope, I think.
Well, keep in mind, the Penn State gods always smile on this team at least one time a season where they win a game that they had absolutely no business winning. And they haven't really done that so far this year. I thought the Ohio State win was a very winnable game. Now, they did it in dramatic fashion, but it was a winnable game. So this Purdue game, you know, they could come up and bite them in the butt and win that game and have tremendous momentum going into postseason play.
In fact, the Penn State gods this year, they're pulling out losses where it doesn't look like losses could exist. It's been the opposite. Maybe fortune will turn for this team. We'll see. Four games left in the regular season. Jeff Brown thinks they need to win three of them. Thanks for joining us, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Dustin. And don't forget, NIT berth is no slouch.
It's not. Well, all right. I'll keep that in mind. Well, that's it for us here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're settling for the NIT, perhaps. That's Jeff Brown. You can always check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and go download the Keystone Sports app. Thanks for tuning in.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.